Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Thank you very much, Ellen. Now, this morning we're continuing our analysis of Donald Trump's election victory. In a moment, I'll be talking to Professor Scott Lucas from the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin. But I know many people are scratching their heads as to Trump's support and where it comes from. After all, he did win, in addition to the Electoral College, he did win the popular vote. Now, the hard shoulder is coming from the US this week. And yesterday, Kieran Cuddy was asking people why Trump had done so well. Now, this is an example of perhaps why.
Because nobody's talking to us, the middle class, the lower class, the working class people. No one's talking to us. I don't want to hear Hollywood, Oprah, J-Lo tell me how I should vote. You left the Bronx, sweetie. I've lived in the Bronx for the last 32 years. Where have you been? Kamala, while I understand she's vice president, an invasion happened under their watch and they allowed it to happen. They ignored it. We can't take in millions of people illegally walking in over our border, handing them all sorts of benefits that our own American citizens don't get. I'm sorry. You're not resonating with the middle and the lower class people. You're not. You're ignoring us as always. This man, a billionaire, I got more in common with her than I do with her, with him than I do with her. We're going to secure this border. We're going to deport as many illegals as we can. We're going to get our economy back on track. And we're going to put Americans first.
And there's no doubt that he assembled a pretty broad coalition to end up with winning the popular vote. This is another one.
I'm elated. I'm elated for Trump. I'm elated for our country. There's is a very big relief from the communistic rule that we've been under for the last 4 years. You've got Latino kids here in this city alone. One of them, Amel, and his sister, I saw at the Coney Island Pier one day, and he was in tears, near in tears, crying, because he said, we just can't stand this anymore. 4 years of this, these illegals here in our city. And he's Latino. He's born and raised here. So that, if that gives you just a little, you know, small portion of, you know, how we feel, of how despicable it's been to be under practically communist rule for the last 4 years.
You know. So what do you think Donald Trump now will change as president?
Donald J. Trump loves God. That's obvious. So I believe he will be under the rule and leadership of God Almighty and his son, Jesus Christ.
Well, you can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all of the time. Rarely do you fool all of the people all of the time. But he certainly fooled 50% of them. Scott Lucas, good morning.
Very good morning to you, Pat.
Now, this business of Trump's broad appeal and the messages that people got from the Trump campaign, which they bought into.
Well, I think there's a few takeaways, Pat, to start our discussion. I think the first is, I think what you heard there, you know, and let's cut to, you know, feeling versus disinformation, is that Democrats, the Harris campaign, did not connect with a lot of people out there. They did not connect with them, especially on key issues of the economy and immigration. And as we move forward, given the damage that we're probably going to face in the U.S. and abroad, there's going to be a need to talk about how we make those connections. Secondly, I think we need to reckon with a starting point, which is that fewer people voted for Donald Trump than in 2020. He didn't get as many votes. But Kamala Harris got 13.5 million fewer votes than Joe Biden did in 2020. In other words, the Trump historic victory here is because people who might have voted for Harris stayed home, and you've got to establish why. And then thirdly, as you make those connections, you've got to recognize the scale of the disinformation and the hate mongering that's out there and how Trump has been successful with it. So to take a couple of examples from those clips, to talk about the idea that America has been ruled by communists, a trope that I've heard ever since I was a boy in the Cold War, or even more pernicious, the idea that America is being overrun by millions of immigrants, when in fact, there's about the same number of undocumented immigrants now as there were in 2021, and that this year, undocumented immigration across the Mexico border has declined, not risen, declined by 77%.
So if more and more people are coming in, what's happening to the, if and the numbers of undocumented remain the same, what's happening? Are they becoming legalized? Is that how the numbers remain constant even with an influx?
That's correct. So some people, as they come into the United States, they follow the processes, they do what they are supposed to do, and they go onto a path to either get documentation, so in other words, residency, or they get citizenship. But many of those who cross are returned to the countries from whence they came, or at least back to Mexico, because the Biden administration has actually toughened up on border security since 2021, just something that, again, the message didn't get across. Because remember that at the start of this year, in 2024, it was the Biden administration's Democrats and Republicans who agreed on the most significant border security bill that we've had in decades in the United States. And the person who sabotaged it, in other words, who prevented border security, was Donald Trump. But how many folks who voted on Tuesday would have actually even known that or taken heed of it?
Now, the idea that the Biden administration was running the show like a communist regime, I mean, I heard it said this morning on radio here that, you know, Fine Gael would be to the left, well to the left of the Democratic Party in the United States. And no one would accuse the Fine Gael party or the Fianna Fáil party of being anything remotely communistic. So how are Americans so ignorant of even the use of common words like communism?
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So it could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
I wouldn't say ignorant, Pat. What I'd say is you have, for me, you have to appreciate the deployment of that term communist and how it embeds itself in American culture. And again, you've got to go all the way back to the early 20th century for that, and especially after 1945, you know, in that contest between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. But more specifically, what happens here is that any policy, a lot of policies that people don't like, they slap that label on it. So I've had people tell me that Obamacare, which is not nearly as, you know, it doesn't provide as much coverage as you would get even from the health system in Ireland, but that Obamacare is communist. The idea, of course, that you might pursue gun control is labeled as communist. You know, the idea that you might pursue a progressive economic policy to help some of those people who actually you heard in that clip, but it gets converted in terms of the hate mongering, the language, as being communist. So you have to deal with that. You're not going to sweep that away, just as you're not going to sweep away the Trumpist media at this point. You've got to come up with tactics and approaches where you can get the high ground and say, no, we're not talking about communism here. We're talking about decency, respect, tolerance, and a better place for all of us.
It doesn't seem like that resonates with what they call the middle class and the working class. It can be described, I suppose, as the blue-collar workforce, or in some cases, the workless force, because some of them have been put out of business by the progress in the auto industry, for example, which has eliminated a lot of jobs. And for them, the bottom line is, how's my family doing? Do we have enough money to put, you know, bread and cornflakes on the table?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think, you know, what we're talking about here, which is the idea of, you know, having a decent, a fair society, a society that's not going to be led by a convicted felon, that's going to resonate if people feel that they're better off, or if there's hope they're better off. It resonates when they feel they're under threat. So in 2020, one of the reasons why the Democrats won and Trump finally was pushed out of office was because of the pandemic. And people didn't feel protected, quite rightly, by Trump during the pandemic. Now, he's in opposition for the past 3.5 years. He doesn't have to be responsible. He certainly doesn't have to act responsible or speak responsibly. He can just spread all these claims. And if people don't feel they are better off, then they're going to resonate. And again, let's go to facts. In 2022, inflation hit 9%. It hit 9% because we had the post-COVID supply shocks. We had the Biden administration spending money to get the United States out of a recession. Now, in 2024, the inflation rate is down to 2.4%. The economy is growing by 3.5%. You've got the highest employment rate since the 1960s. But if people don't feel they're better off, in other words...
Well, they're not better off if prices haven't come down. I mean, inflation stops, but it's a ratchet process. The price that has been hiked stays hiked. It doesn't drop, except perhaps at the gas pump.
Exactly. Yeah, now the price rises have come, and that's an interesting point, because in fact, the price of petrol, which used to be the gauge about how people felt, has dropped significantly this year in the United States. And the price of some food items has dropped this year. But you're absolutely right that the cumulative effect of 2022-2023 was what could be exploited by those who said, it's just going down and down and down. And again, what the Harris campaign could not get across is recognizing with those people that they'd gone through those couple of years, but then saying, look, we are turning it around. Look at how we're turning it around. They couldn't even, it appears, get across those very important policies. The most significant policy since the 60s, the Coronavirus Relief Act. You could talk about the infrastructure bill. You could talk about the Build Back Better bill for a green economy and for investment. A lot of that money is going to be flowing through the economy in the next few years. And ironically, Trump might benefit from that. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get it across to people, which is, we actually face this crisis and we've done something about it and things will get better.
Now, going forward, the policies that he's likely to want to try to implement, because he's not going to have to run again one way or the other, maybe his sons will, or maybe J.D. Vance will be the anointed candidate. What is he going to try to push through and what will he abandon?
We're not talking about coherent policies here. Let's start off with this. He's going to wreak vengeance. He's going to wreak vengeance, as he said to, from day one, I will be a dictator. I will seek retribution against my enemies. I will use the military against enemies within. So whatever actions he takes, first and foremost, will be to wreak vengeance and to try to get, you know, people to be loyal to him. So they will try to take over the agencies, the U.S. agencies, by politicizing them. They will politicize the economic institutions, the Treasury. They will try to politicize the Federal Reserve, which sets U.S. monetary policy. They will try to politicize the State Department and manipulate diplomacy. They will try to politicize the military. So even before you talk about specific policies, it's actually going to be this process of wreaking damage within government.
So the way he did with the courts in his appointments during, and not just the Supreme Court, but lower courts too, he stacked the dice in his own favor.
And the way that he's going to do with the Justice Department, because remember, Donald Trump has already been convicted on 34 felony charges and faces 50 others. So he's going to want to make sure he gets control of the Justice Department so he never faces accountability on any of those charges or on others he might rack up in the years to come.
He's likely to be sentenced, though, before January.
I see. Now, that's the problem. Are you going to be the judge that's going to be brave enough to sentence a sitting president or a president-elect? I mean, I would hope so.
If you're near retirement, perhaps, yes.
I would hope so. I would hope that a judge would do that, but it would have to take a very brave judge because you know as soon as he sentences Trump, that every Trumpist is going to come out of the woodwork and shout that disinformation, that poisonous disinformation about how this is like the judicial branch waging war against Donald Trump. I mean, if we can talk about specific policies I'm watching out for that affect us in Ireland, Pat, I think if you looked in terms of the tariff policies, because Trump could wield them anytime against anybody. And the idea of a 10, a 15, a 20% global tariff will hit us here. He may do that. He may not. He may just simply focus on China, but we don't know. In terms of economic policy in the United States, beyond having a corporation tax cut, there's really no coherent policy as opposed to trying to shackle the Federal Reserve. Mm. That's going to cause instability. And then abroad, let's be very clear here. What's going to affect us in Ireland, affect Europe? Whether or not he comes out of NATO, he is going to support Vladimir Putin's annexation of more than 25% of Ukraine. He's going to say there will be no U.S. support to Ukraine to continue its resistance. They have to go into peace talks. In other words, talks on the Kremlin's terms. That's going to raise a fundamental question for us, which is, as Ukraine gets into the position of West Germany in the Cold War, What do we do vis-a-vis European security and our own going forward with a man in the White House who favors autocrats rather than his allies?
On the domestic agenda, then, the pro-choice limitations of the freedoms that women did enjoy, LGBT issues, is he likely to double down on those with the help of a Supreme Court?
He'll double down on the rhetoric. So they'll double down on the rhetoric, which will assail LGBT. They'll, you know, we won't talk about the specifics in terms of transgender rights. Instead, the idea that men are in women's sports, they'll do that every time because his vice presidential running mate, J.D. Vance, does that. In terms of the abortion question specifically and women's rights more broadly, they're going to kick it over to the states. They're going to make this argument, this deceptive argument, which is, oh, it's not the federal government's responsibility to defend women's rights. But of course, the problem here is that many state legislatures are not only dominated by the Republicans, they're dominated by Trumpists. So we're going to have a battle from state to state to state in terms of women's rights. Now, interestingly enough, there were 10 abortion referenda that were on the ballot on Tuesday. I think at least 8 of those referendums to protect women's rights passed. 2 of them failed narrowly. So I think as we talk about going forward and not just simply wringing our hands about what has happened, that defense of women's rights is going to have to be mobilized on that state-by-state level. And I suspect defense of LGBT rights and other issues will have to be waged at the state level where we build up an effective America from the ground up rather than depending on it from the top down.
Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today we have 2 very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.